In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you're here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins, and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
Yesterday, we considered the importance of imitating our Lord Jesus Christ by reading his life, by learning his words, by picturing his life and becoming one more character in the scenes. But of course, what can happen many times is that we read the Gospels, we see what Jesus did and said, and we sometimes find it a bit hard to imitate what we see. Because, Lord, so many times there is such a distance, difference between you and me, Lord. You, perfect God, perfect man, and me, a sinner, a weak man. And of course, Jesus, we see you doing amazing things, walking on water, transforming water into wine, healing the sick, giving sight back to the blind, bringing the dead back to life, multiplying bread and fish, all things, Lord, that we can't do. Would be kind of nice to be able to do some of these things, especially the wine and the bread and all that. Would turn out to be pretty convenient. But we can't. You can try to walk on water. You have the pool outside, you can give it a try, maybe later. It won't work. So there are certain things, Lord, in your life that we can admire, that we can be grateful for. Obviously, Jesus didn't perform all those miracles to give us example, right? The miracles are there for us to recognize his divinity and realize that this man is God. Only God can forgive sins. Only God can do certain things, and those things are left for him to do. And so we admire, and we're grateful. Maybe we can apply those things that Jesus does to us as disciples, because in a way we can kind of do those things, just like the apostles received the power to heal some infirmities, to expel some of the demons, and we can do that with our friends and our apostolate. Give them back sight, not physical sight, unless you're a specialist, a doctor, they can maybe do some incredible things. But give back that sight for those who are blind from seeing God. They can't see God, and we help them acquire that spiritual life, and maybe bringing them to confession, and can be a way of bringing the dead, at least dead to grace, back to life. Life of grace. So in a way we can think, okay, there are certain ways in which we can apply these things. But never that literally. And it makes sense. But there is a part of the life of Jesus that we can truly imitate. A part in the life of Christ that we can literally apply to our life. And realize this is something I could do. That is the hidden life of Christ. Unfortunately, we don't have much of it in the Gospels. Not much is said about that hidden life. Mm-hmm. 30 years of the life of Christ, so we don't have much in the Gospels. We have his going to the temple, brought by his parents, for the purification. We have him visiting the temple again, with his parents, when he gets lost and then is found. Get a little bit of the life after his birth in Bethlehem when he's persecuted, and then they come back to Nazareth, and that's pretty much it. You will hear a little bit about his life when people, especially those from Nazareth, when they see him coming back and preaching and performing miracles, they will say, well, isn't this the son of Joseph? Isn't this the carpenter? It's clear by their reaction, his neighbors, his cousins, that they had never seen Jesus do anything special. He was a regular Joe, right, as we would say. It's a hardworking man, son of Mary, son of Joseph, a good son, probably, a good friend, a good neighbor, kind, attentive to the needs of others, generous. He would do his work, well done. Nothing special, nothing fancy. Sometimes we hear those stories, right, that are told in these non-testamental gospels, and that were written by people that were out of devotion, not out of evil intention, out of devotion, but not real, clearly. Like that Gospel that tells us that Jesus working with Joseph would have found himself in a bind because of the tables or chair, I don't know what it is, that they had built, was limping a little bit. One of the legs was a little bit shorter than the rest, and Joseph was desperate because like they had to take it to the customer, and it was too late, and what are we going to do? And Jesus apparently would have come and said, Dad, don't worry, I'll take care of it. And then touch the leg, and miraculous, it would be fixed. And Joseph would be very happy, very grateful to have this son that can perform miracles, of course. That would be pretty cool, right? But it doesn't seem like what Jesus would have done. There's another story that says, but Jesus kind of seeing his mother going out to get water to the well. We kind of forget, right, that people back then didn't have running water, right? Just like turn the tap and something we give for granted. But Mary had to go out to the well and carry these big, heavy things full of water back home. And kind of Jesus was a little bit like, oh, I don't want my mom to be doing that. And he would have gone and like, touched the floor and the ground and the backyard and created a well, right? The spring that would come out. It's like, Mom, you don't need to go to the well anymore. And it all sounds very kind of beautiful, cool, but unlikely. And actually, there's a reason why not much from his life, from his hidden life, is in the Gospels. Why? Because there was nothing special. Because it was a normal life of work, of getting up in the morning, every day at dawn, or whatever time you woke, got up, and studying, going to school, being with his friends, meals with his parents, family get-togethers, more work. Ordinary, normal life. Ordinary, everyday work. Prayer. But a normal life. Jesus wanted to live that life. He could have come directly, right, at 31, appeared in the scene out of nowhere, just kind of coming down from heaven as a man at 31, ready to go out and preach and do miracles. He could have started preaching and doing miracles way earlier. I don't know, people had that in that time when they were in their 15, 16, 17, they were already adults. Wouldn't have surprised anyone if a 17, 18-year-old would have gone around doing the things Jesus did when he was 30. But in a way we can think, again, this is speculation, that Jesus wanted to live an ordinary, normal life because he wanted to teach us and show us that we can be other Christ, the same Christ, in our own ordinary, normal, hidden life. That is when we can find sanctity. And in a way, there is that big contrast between his hidden life, ordinary life, 30 years, and his public life, kind of more spectacular life, 3 years. Maybe to show us that, look, don't focus too much on the extraordinary. Don't focus too much on the supernatural. I mean, he did all that because obviously that was part of his mission, his preaching, his miracles, and his passion and death on the cross. But there's the larger chunk of his life, which is also important. It's not like Christ was like on standby, right? His mission was on standby until all of a sudden he turned 30 and he realized, wow, midlife crisis, right? Like, what am I doing with my life? Like, I'm a carpenter. This is kind of like, what a waste, living with my mom still, right? I'm 30. What's wrong with me? Like, okay, I'm the son of God. I got to go out and preach. So, mom, goodbye. I'm bored of this simple life. Finally, I've discovered my mission. I guess people have that, right? Sometimes that midlife crisis that, you know, we look back and maybe we've already lived that, or not yet, or it's long gone. It's like, what have I done with my life? It's a waste, right? I need to do something special. I need to discover something. I need to jump off a plane, right? And it was not like that, most certainly not. That life was part of his redemption. Those 30 years were part of his mission. To sanctify, to divinize ordinary life, what we all do every day. That's what San Jose Maria insisted so much on. That's what God revealed to San Jose Maria. That October 2nd, 1928. Because in a way, the church had fallen into that kind of temptation of the supernatural, of the special. Which is normal, right? It's a normal tendency that we can all kind of have to look at what is special. What is extraordinary. And we all admire the people that do great things, and which is obviously normal and natural. The heroic acts, right? The martyr who died for Christ. And that's a great thing, obviously. Dying for Christ is a laudable thing. And if we ever have that opportunity, I guess, hopefully we have the grace to respond to that and to. So the church had kind of lost that original message, that original Christian spirit, where everyone was special, where everyone was a just man, or could be a just man, in their ordinary, everyday lives. Why? Because they were being like Jesus, like Mary, like Joseph. They were imitating the life of the Holy Family, a normal, ordinary life of hard work, of effort, of sacrifices, of love. The same life that God Himself lived on earth for 30 years. St. Jose Maria was asked by God to remind Christians of this reality. You don't need to be special in order to be a saint. You don't need to be exceptional to have this like amazing special vocation of religious life or to priesthood. Yes, obviously those things are important, and religious life is essential to the life of the church. And priesthood is even more essential to the life of the church, sacraments. And that is a very clear way of being another Christ, of being Christ Himself, especially when celebrating the Mass. But that doesn't mean that the rest of the ordinary Christians that are living a normal, ordinary life in marriage, family, work, they cannot be the same Christ, another Christ. Of course they can. Christ Himself lived that life, and the two most perfect people on earth after Jesus lived that life, Mary and Joseph. Husband and wife, father and mother, homekeeper, carpenter, professional worker. As far as we know, Mary and Joseph never did anything really extraordinary. If we consider the extraordinary in that light, right, of performing miracles. We don't know if the Virgin Mary doing any miracles. We don't know if Joseph doing anything special. He was obedient. He did the will of God. They made the sacrifices that God asked from them. Going to Bethlehem, sleeping in a stable, being cheerful in very difficult circumstances, getting up in the middle of the night and going over to Egypt when they were being persecuted, going back to Nazareth, working hard, taking care of Jesus, Well, if you think about it, isn't that extraordinary? Isn't that everyday fidelity to God? Isn't that everyday generosity? In the simple, ordinary things, and that perseverance, day after day, year after year. Isn't that special? Isn't that supernatural? Isn't that extraordinary? Yes, it is. And that's what the spirit of the work came to remind people of. That is supernatural. That is extraordinary. It can be. Not necessarily. It isn't necessarily. We can live that life in a very human way and just leaving God outside. Just like you can live priesthood in a very human way and just putting God aside just so you can be live religious life and not really become a saint. It's about putting God in our everyday life, doing everything for the love of God, sanctifying those little, ordinary, everyday things. Imitating Christ, Mary, Joseph. Isn't that holy? Isn't that extraordinary? For us, says Saint José María, work is the hinge in which our whole effort to achieve Christian perfection revolves. In seeking Christian perfection in the middle of the world, each of us has also to seek human perfection in a professional occupation. Professional occupation. It's a lawyer. It's an engineer. It's an accountant. It's a doctor. It's a police officer. It's a journalist. It's a politician. It's a father. It's a husband. As a mother, we can imitate Christ. We can be other Christs, the same Christ. We can sanctify everything we do. How? Well, by doing it like Christ. As we mentioned yesterday in our last meditation, we put ourselves in the position, what would Christ do in my situation? How would Jesus have sanctified this work? How would Jesus have reported this on the newspaper? How would Jesus have taken care of this client or resolved this difficult situation? Lord, we want to be like you in our everyday life. We want to offer you everything that we do from that first moment in the morning when we wake up and try to live that heroic minute, getting out of bed, not pressing that snooze button, temptingly shining there. I don't know why they make these alarm clocks right that way. It's like huge alarm clocks. And there's this like ginormous snooze button. And then if you want to find the off button, it's like impossible. It's like this tiny little thing in the back. It's just somehow it's possible to find it. Whoever invented that snooze button made a huge disservice, right, to humanity. From that moment, to those everyday sacrifices, Smiling when we don't feel like it. Putting up our phone when we're getting distracted. Leaving that, checking the news for later because we need to work on this right now. Making that phone call on time, not procrastinating. Doing things with human perfection the best we can. Doing apostolate in our work by helping others, by giving good example. Sanctifying work, sanctifying ourselves through our work, sanctifying others through our work. There is so much we can do in our everyday, ordinary life. Putting God there in the middle of that work, that's where the norms will come in, right? The importance of the plan of life that helps us to bring God into our everyday life. Because we know by experience that it's not easy, right, to sanctify our ordinary life. It's not like we just say, well, I want to sanctify it, and it's automatically transformed. Because we get into the everyday hustle and bustle, and it's difficult to remember that God is there. And we get into the everyday difficulties, and we get exasperated and tired, and we get we can easily forget that God is there with us. Okay, we need to bring God inside our work. And we bring God and we put His crucifix in our desk. And we think of aspirations that we can pray throughout the day. Small sacrifices that we can offer up to God. Intentions. So different things that we do. To sanctify everything. When Jesus, Mary, and Joseph must have done. Not letting work be an obstacle to our sanctity, because it can be. Work is the hinge of our sanctity. For sanctification. But work can also be, unfortunately, it can turn into an obstacle to our sanctity. If I'm too busy to go to Mass, if I'm too busy to spend time with my family, if I have to work so hard that I don't have time to pray or to do apostolate, then maybe work ends up being our whole life, and that's not what it's all about. Making work the hinge of our sanctity doesn't mean that work is all we do. Sorry, honey, I have to work. That's where my sanctity is at. So sorry, I can't have dinner with you tonight. Can't be there for the kids. I have to work. Sometimes, yes, we have to make sacrifices. Sometimes we can't be there for everything. We can't take 6 weeks of vacation sometimes because we have to work. And that's, yeah. Sometimes there are necessary sacrifices that we have to do. But finding that balance. Lord, help us. It's not easy. To imitate you in our ordinary life, in our professional work, what we want to. Give us your grace. Guide us in our work to know and to learn how to turn everything that we do, every little thing of our day, from work, into an opportunity to be more like you, into an opportunity to sanctify that work, to sanctify ourselves, to that work, and to sanctify others with our work. Thank you, my God, for the good resolutions affections and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help to put them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
Holy Mary, I hope you be
with me. Pray for us.
Thank you, dear Father, being in me.